Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Do you know there was a big fight, boxing fight on recently? It was Anthony Joshua, wasn't it? And a Ukrainian chap who was quite gentlemanly and ultimately won. The fanfare with fights is ridiculous. And I heard that the sort of ballpark figure for earnings for the people involved, I think it was like Anthony Joshua was going to get £40 million whatever happened.
Bloody hell.
And you're like, what? I mean, I guess it's danger money, brain damage money, but whatever. It got me thinking, you know, there's this rise in cage fighting, MMA, whatever they call it. I don't even know what MMA stands for. What does it stand for?
I know this. It's multiple mixed martial arts.
Oh, mixed martial arts. That's it. That's it.
I always think it sounds like the name of a platform that a car manufacturer has come up with, like Volkswagen or someone. It's like the mixed modular architecture. I have a feeling someone has actually got that. I can't remember who. Yeah. It's not VW, but somebody.
MMA, yes.
MMA.
I was thinking of infotainment, but Audi's is it Audi's MMI?
MMI, yes.
Yeah, so it's not. No, you are right. I bet it's platform sharing architecture that allows extending and contracting of wheelbases.
Yeah, that's exactly punching somebody in the face with your foot.
Yes. Oh, I mean the whole thing just. But it got. I for some reason last night whilst brushing my teeth and watching an 80s music video, of course. But I did actually.
I've been meaning to ask you about this for ages because I know that you like watching 80s music videos while you brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Do you have an electric toothbrush?
Yes.
So how do you hear the 80s music?
I've perfected the art of this. What you do is you have to put it up on sort of deaf person's volume, so really loud. But then what I do is I position the phone really close to a wall and it resonates the sound back and up around the wall, which is the wall that goes into the window, the bathroom window.
Right.
And it acts as a sort of shit amphitheatre so that when I'm brushing my teeth, I can really hear it as best as possible without having some sort of posh Sonos. I don't have a house with like surround sound or anything. I aspire to it, but I don't, unfortunately.
But then, does this, if you're brushing your teeth before you go to bed, is the rest of the people in your house maybe already trying to sleep and they're like, why the bloody hell is like Taylor Dane's Tell It to My Heart blasting out of the bathroom? What's Daddy doing in there?
Well, nobody knows because Daddy's bathroom is a long way away. Daddy does have a separate bathroom. We've got two bathrooms in our house, and one of them's miles away from the bedrooms and other people's bedroom. So Daddy does everything. So when I wake up in the morning and go on a shoot, like video shoot, or leave the house, I just tiptoe to the other end of the house. Makes it sound like our house is some sort of like country manor, but it's not. It's a 70s bungalow, and but it's quite a long, thin house.
Yeah, I realise that.
I can do loads over there. Nobody hears me. I close several doors on the way through, like like blast doors going into laboratories. I close a door and then I think, oh, do you know how bad it is when I leave the house really early and I want to boil the kettle to make a coffee?
Yeah.
I'll unplug the kettle and I will take it into either that bathroom or there's another room right by the back, and I will boil a kettle by the back door. Sometimes whilst holding a bath towel around it. Whilst holding a bath towel around it to act as another sound buffer. That's the desperation for leaving the house with a half-decent filter coffee. What an absolute stroker.
This is my wife did this the other day because in our new house we don't have a kitchen door. It's weird, but there isn't one. It's quite strange. And
they took it. Previous owners took it.
Yeah,
it wasn't on the particulars.
It wasn't on the list.
Wankers.
There just isn't one. It's bizarre. It's sort of not quite open plan, but it sort of is. And so she got up early and she wanted to make a coffee, but we've got one of those machines where you push a button and it grinds some beans before it makes the coffee.
Yes.
And it's very, very noisy.
Yes. It's not a doing it while people are asleep kind of activity, is it?
No, not when it's able. You can't close the kitchen door. In our old house, just close the kitchen door. But it still used to be so noisy. What I'd do if I was up early is I would then get the kitchen towel and put it over the top of the machine and sort of like a damper.
Yeah, great idea.
But what she did was, it's very thoughtful, this, but she unplugged the machine. It's really heavy. But she unplugged the machine and carried it and kind of set it up in a cupboard. It was like, then I came down and went, my first thought was, we've been burgled, but by very specific burglars who've just taken the coffee machine. I was like, where's the coffee machine? She went, it's out the back there. And it was just on the floor next to the boiler. I was a bit like, this is very kind of you. But I almost think overly elaborate efforts to be quiet often end up being noisier than just if you...
Well, I do get that. I mean, I've said it before, but leaving the house early in the morning, especially when my kids were very young, and if I had a test car that I was driving to film with or to review, and it had a particularly gargly exhaust, I had to strategically park it whilst it, making sure it wasn't vulnerable to, I don't know, thieves or twats, and also make sure that I had to go against all my principles of letting a car warm up. So I vividly remember having, I think it was an Audi R8 V10.
Oh, noisy.
I had to strike it up and slap it into reverse, like within a second of the engine catching. And I felt so German, and I felt like a German R&D person who just goes, it's not my car. I've got, my job is to work out how long it can do this for before it finally goes, sorry, I'm out. This is it. I didn't even let the oil pressure light go out if it did have one. I just slapped it into reverse and immediately gargled it off the drive backwards. I don't know if anybody else does this, but that's one of the reasons why I quite like this idea of, you know, when the new breed of supercars was coming out that was hybrid and some could glide off EV only. I thought there is a use for that, besides it obviously being a bit better on your lungs in cities. And that's one of the reasons why I had a switchable exhaust put in the Dodge, because although in quiet function, it's still definitely a V8. You'd be surprised at how less burbly and gargly it is. It doesn't sound like when a boat comes into a quayside and it's idling, but sometimes the propeller gets a little bit, or the exhaust on the back of it gets a little bit close to the surface of the water.
Yeah.
as the water rises and drops, you know, the sea. It's like that, doesn't it? It goes. It's like that, and I'm just constantly going, just get away from the house, quick, just get away. So yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say about fighting and boxing is, don't you think, is it MMA? It is MMA.
MMA,
it?
Yeah.
Do you think MMA fighters, they could all have names like car rear suspension? I was thinking this the other day. You wouldn't even blink if you heard about a big MMA fight coming up with Panhard Rod versus Watts Link, or De Dion Bouton versus Revo Knuckle.
De Dion Bouton is a make of cars.
Oh, it is a make. It's a Didion back end. Didion
back end.
Didion back end. Didion back end. And then obviously instead of Connor, what's the really sort of feral guy? Who got absolutely whipped by Floyd Mayweather.
I know who you mean, yeah.
Everyone who's listening to this knows what I mean. Connor Muck.
I know. I can't get past, because I'm thinking of the name of someone else I know called Connor Muck something, and I can't get his name out of my head to make room for that other guy's name. What is it? Connor. Anyway, you're right. Ferrell is the perfect description.
Connor Ferrell. He would be Connor McPherson's, because off the strut, you know, so he'd be. Because he's still a muck, but he's just not the mucky really.
The commentator, when he's sort of doing that cocky walk that the fighters have into the thing, that would be the McPherson strut, wouldn't it? So.
Oh, that would be the McPherson strut, and everyone would emulate it. So all the drunken louts who'd spent their entire family savings going to Las Vegas for 12 hours. They would be just, you know, windmilling their way around the bar watching this. I was trying to think of other rear ends. You got Watts Link, Panhard Rod. You got multi link, but that's not obviously very believable. not as good as De Dion Bouquet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Leaf Spring doesn't really. Trailing Arm.
Oh, Trailing Arm could be good.
Torsion Beam is quite good.
Yes.
Although that sounds like a wrestling move.
Or it could be Beam Torsion. So it would have a little, it would have an accent thing above it. Beam Torsion enters the ring. And his specialist move is obviously tearing out people's shoulders. With his foot.
Always with his foot. They do a lot of stuff with feet, don't they, in those sort of martial arty things.
Yeah, I get very, very nervous about, because it's stubbing your toe over the threshold from one room to another is one of the most painful things I've ever done.
Oh my God.
So the idea of kicking someone in the face repeatedly with my horrible little toes is just. I'm pretty sure no one wants to be kicked in the face with my toes either. So.
At the last minute, that your opponent turns the other cheek to reveal that they've got Lego bricks stuck to it. And you make contact and it's agonisingly painful. Or a plug, a 3-pin plug just taped to his face. You go, no, not my foot.
Or a 3-pin plug, yeah, turned.
Or that, bloody hell, I keep doing this. There's, I think, what they call French drains, you know, and you've got a bit of gravel that runs around the sort of base of a wall.
Is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah. You know, for drainage.
I know, and it's normally on a slope. If you've got a slopey drive, you don't want the water to go into your garage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there's one of those that runs along the base of the back of our house, and so it's got little bits of gravel in it. Little bits of gravel sometimes, you know, escape onto the patio, and I'm forever in the sort of nicer weather, just stepping out the back in bare feet, and every so often there'll be a rogue bit of gravel. And the sort of jolt of electricity that goes up your body when you tread on a tiny piece of gravel. It's horrible.
Oh, it is. It's like going onto a really idyllic beach that's shale.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can get to the water to have a swim without looking like you're doing a sort of jazz dance, an expressive jazz dance.
Or you look like you've been badly stop frame animated. Just look like a really shit
cheap
1930s dinosaur thing with stop frame animation.
That's exactly what it is. But the problem is, yeah. I develop instant Tourette's when I was walking to the beach without flip flops on. Mm. But then I realised that there were like lovely people just having a relaxing time on the beach, and I'd be going, fucking shit. I did it, and I realised my son was behind it, and I was properly effing and jeffing and growling, and he was like, Daddy, it's not that bad. He sort of walked next to me with bare feet. I went, I just can't do it. I've got no, there's something wrong with the bottom of my feet. I don't know what it is.
No, but. I think that's normal. I'd say it would be more weird if you went, shingly beach, isn't that? Effortless. I could run on that if I wanted to in my bare feet. That'd be strange. You'd have to have
shingly
some leathery feet.
Well, that's why I've tried to go barefoot more this enormous summer that we've had in Britain. I've tried to be as barefoot as possible.
Really?
Walking around the garden, patio, house. Yeah, just to sort of tighten up the leather a bit more. It's the opposite of what you want to do to car upholstery leather, which is obviously keep it nice and supple.
Mm.
I'm actually trying to make the bottoms of my feet so hard enough so I can tap them like this. That's the bottom of my foot. That's what I'd like.
Like
American tyres, high mileage tyres.
Yes, so your feet make screeching noises whenever you turn a corner.
Oh, yeah.
Even at very low speed.
It's like a very bad car chase whenever I walk from one end of the garden or a patio to the other.
I was walking through downtown Bath, depending on.
Did you just say downtown Bath?
Yeah,
well, listen. I know your wife's American.
Area, but I was walking through the centre of the historic city of Bath, and I was walking behind a quite young couple, and the bloke had no shoes on at all or socks. He was just walking down the street in bare feet.
See, first thing my dad would say is broken glass.
Exactly.
Get a sliver. You'll get a sliver in there.
Yeah. Or tread on a fox turd or something. But either way, I just go, why would you do that? And he must have had pretty taut leather on the bottom of his feet.
It's too risky.
Mm.
Far too risky. I wouldn't do it. Now, before I ask you about how Radwood went, because I forgot to ask you, and I wanted to, and I had a bit of FOMO from that. Do you remember that photo that I sent you that my dad sent me from a supermarket car park in Taunton, of the Jeep Renegade?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. The Freddie Mercury trousers car.
A Freddie Mercury tribute Jeep Renegade. It's just quite extraordinary. I was talking to him yesterday about it. So I've got the pictures here. And if you're a patron of Smith & Stuff, A, we love you. B, you'll be able to see these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yellow, two-year-old Renegade. And as Richard said, I think they're modelled around Freddie's iconic yellow trousers. They were yellow, weren't they? With the black sort of matador stripe down the side.
Was this Live Aid that he?
I think this was the Live Aid look that everyone remembers. So was the jacket white and the trousers were?
All in white. I just typed in Live Aid Freddie Mercury, and some of the Google does that thing where it goes, people also ask, and the first question prompt is, people also ask, why were Queen so good at Live Aid?
Well, because Freddie knew he was not a very well man, I think, and the band had fallen out, hadn't they? Freddie had gone off to Munich and was doing sort of druggy party stuff.
Right.
And the band were pissed off with him, and he'd shunned all his friends. Freddie had gotten into the wrong company. And apparently, the guy that was managing Freddie at the time, who was a bit shady, didn't tell Freddie about any of the phone calls from Queen and from Live Aid that were coming through saying, we really want Queen to perform here. We've already signed up. We've already signed up these guys. We've already signed up these guys. The Stones are going to be there. The Blah are going to be there. Will Queen play? And Freddie didn't ever reply because he never got the messages. And then finally he found out that they'd been trying to get through to him, realised that his manager, new manager guy, was a bit of a beast. And arranged a meeting with the band and sat down with the band and had it out with them after running away for ages and said, all right, I'll do it. And I think he knew at that point he was not very well. And so he thought, if I'm going to do this, and this might be the last ever Queen gig, and people had said that Queen were over. You know, it was the 80s, Queen didn't have it anymore, and I think he wanted to prove the world wrong, and that's why he gave it 150%. Yeah, and he drove on. I believe he drove on in a Jeep Renegade and did one of those. Decided to do a handbrake turn, but of course the back tires bit a little bit hard, so it did that very slow roll. You've seen it in some YouTube videos where it pitches one of the back wheels and it tips it enough onto its side to probably write it off on the pillars.
Yeah,
and then he just sort of calmly got out and did that air up.
Well, as if nothing was wrong. I spotted another candidate for our business lounge car interior concept, which we thought of by reversing the passenger seat on a car with a fatally damaged passenger door.
Oh, yes.
An E93 series yesterday, which had obviously had a biff on the passenger side. It had really buggered up the door and broken the passenger door window by the looks of it.
Oh.
And I was thinking, that door's never opening, is it? But that's okay. No. If I can see the owner around, I will advise them of what they could do with their car. As I walked past it, it was actually slashing with rain, and this window was presumably gone. But also the car was parked up a curb, passenger side tilted upwards, so it's almost like it was...
It was funnelling rain in
as well, but...
I hate leaving a car window open to get wet or... I hate it. So going back to the Queen car, I just want to. There's a couple of key descriptions of this Queen spec.
Well, hang on now. We're misremembering because he did Live Aid. I've looked this up now. Freddie Mercury did Live Aid in a pair of jeans and a white vest. It's a year later, presumably off the back of their Live Aid success. Queen are back on top.
They
played Wembley as themselves rather than as part of Live Aid, and that's when he wore. The yellow jacket, a yellow jacket with white trimmings, and white trousers with red trimmings.
Oh, God.
So the car is actually not a
the car's actually
tribute,
not
it's
right.
It's a jacket tribute.
Okay, so Freddy Jacket Tribute Jeep has... Okay, so here it is. It's yellow.
No one's ever put those words together before.
It's yellow with a pair of black stripes going over the middle of the car, sort of like a faux Shelby effort.
Yeah.
There's sun strips that are yellow, so matching the body of the car, across the back window and the front window, and they say Queen in what only can be described as a generic italic font. And then on the tailgate, either side of the registration plate, is the silhouette of Freddie doing the one arm in the air, microphone held stunts with one of the legs locked out straight. You know the one. You know the stunts.
Yeah.
There might be a name for it if Queen aficionados have one. Anyway, there's a silhouette of two of those, one on the side of the license plate. And then it says Queen again in a generic font.
I just pulled up a picture. It's a very generic. It's the same generic type, but with a shadow effect on it, a drop shadow.
That's a drop shadow. That's classy. Exactly what it is. And then down the bottom of the side doors, you know, like a 911 Carrera type stripes. Instead, it says black stripes, and again, it says Queen at a jaunty angle where Carrera might be on a 911 with a drop shadow. With a drop shadow.
Yeah, they've got the drop shadow again there. The stripe is sort of a bit higher up the doors than it would be on a Porsche. It's sort of at rubbing strip height, isn't it? It's sort of mid-ish level, and then Queen kind of cuts into it at a jaunty angle. But then also, on the D-pillar, I didn't just notice this.
I'm glad you're going to bring up the D-pillar. Please.
I can't zoom in enough to make this out, but it looks like it's Freddie Mercury. It's a line drawing of Freddie Mercury, but it looks like he's fallen over. But he's got his arm in the air still, like he's going, I'm all right.
It's a really pissed up Freddie Mercury in the recovery position after a massive night out. He's wearing the Matador jacket still, and he's like, I've got this. I'm all right. Don't move me. I'm all right, don't move me. Yeah, it's one of those, and people that do vinyl wrapping might may be able to relate to this. It's one of those decals that you peel off the sheet and it's very thin black outlines of the whole design. And you've got to get it right. You've got to make sure you rub the back of the paper before you start trying to transfer it onto the car, because one little strand will stay behind and it'll ruin the lot. And I know this from when I did all the decals on my race car, which took me days. And I sat on a little buffet doing it, drinking loads of coffee. Then I realised drinking coffee was bad because one of my arms was wobbling a little bit. So I stopped drinking coffee and drank water, and then I carried on. And I did it in the end. I was really pleased when I finally stood back with backache.
I have zoomed in on the D-pillar.
Is it an old lady?
Yeah. With a moustache. It's Freddie Mercury, but it's the top half of Freddie Mercury. So the thing that I thought was his legs splayed in front of him, or sort of, that's the inside of the jacket. It's him. He's looking down. Again, it's taken from a fairly iconic photo of him performing at Wembley, I think. But so he's got one arm in the air.
Yeah.
Then the other arm down by side. But then they've chopped him off, so he's got no hand on his other arm. And he just sort of ends, and that's why it looks weird.
But the thing on the left, which I presumably is a bit of his jacket, actually looks like the profile of a Punch and Judy character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but if you can't see this is not interesting podcast material.
I'd love to... Your dad didn't see the person who drove this car.
Yeah, he did. He tried to take a photo of them, but he felt it felt wrong to him, so he didn't.
Yeah, fair enough.
But he described them to me yesterday. He said the lady was, they were both middle-aged. The lady, he said, was extremely large. Those were his words. And she had pink hair.
Oh.
And he said the gentleman had a long wizard-like beard and a walking stick, but also like a ship captain's cap on. I mean, again, very interesting pair of people.
Dad's golf in the back of shot here?
Yeah, do you know what it might be?
Silver golf cabrio.
Yeah, that is my dad's car,
okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Well, and my mum's. It's not just exclusive by my dad. My mum does use it too.
I'd have loved to have just gone up to that couple and just gone, do you like Queen? And even better if they'd gone, no, not really. Bought this car a couple of years ago, just can't be bothered to take the stickers off.
Oh, that would be amazing. Don't you know?
We thought it was just the name of a special edition or something.
People ask us every week and we're just getting really, really sick of it. I love Elvis Costello, but I just can't be bothered to change the decals.
We just listen to Gilbert and Sullivan mostly. We're not really into modern music. So we wouldn't have even heard of this Queen group that's
all Queen. Quien.
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 Quien. Talk to me about Radwood then, you slut.
Radwood, yeah. So Radwood was, when was that? So yes, well, that's it. We recorded, didn't we, on Friday, and then on Saturday I went to Radwood, and which was at the Bicester Heritage Place. And yeah, it was excellent. I was expecting, for people who are unaware of what Radford is, it started in the US, and it's a car show for 80s and 90s cars.
Yes.
I would say it probably leans into the 90s-ness in its original form.
Yes.
And so, you know, lots of pastel-coloured tracksuits and things.
A lot of fluoro.
There was a bit of fluoro there, actually, including I stopped for petrol, and there was a Fiat Panda, an original 80s Fiat Panda, in there with... I was getting near to Bicester, so I was immediately like, I bet they're going to where I'm going. And then the people got back in it and they were in full fluoro. It was really impressive.
It wasn't Jim, was it? Was it Jim McGill?
I don't know what Jim McGill looks like, actually, so maybe.
Did he have a beard and a bum bag?
I only saw them from behind getting into the car, so I don't know. Maybe. Okay. A beard and a bum bag. The beard is something he probably has all the time. The bum bag, I think he could probably leave at home if he wanted to. I don't know, actually. Maybe it was. I was expecting, given the sort of 80s to 90s remit, I thought it's going to be quite an eclectic range of cars. But I wonder if it feels like, if you were trying to sort of sum up Radwood, certainly the way it started in the US, it would be typified by a wide-body Mercedes SEC.
Oh, SEC, yes. That would be very iced tea circa 1991.
Exactly. So I was thinking, is it going to be lots of stuff like that, or is it going to be a broader range? Well, let me tell you, it was an incredibly broad range of cars. There was a Ferrari Testarossa there in yellow, which looked rather good.
Oh, in yellow? Nice.
In yellow, yeah. 355 on Air Ride.
Oh, I've seen that car. Yes, I've seen that car before. Yeah, did it look sweet?
Yeah. It's amazing, though, because you go, now, they're quite valuable these days, but I wonder if he bought it sort of bottom of the market and thought, oh, well, screw it, I'll just do Air Ride on it, and then went, oh, God. I mean, I'm sure it's reversible anyway, and fair play to him, even if he did pay top dollar for it. The fact that he's just gone, I want a Ferrari 355 on air. That I can make squat when I park it.
Yeah. Was it on polished two-piece rims? I don't know.
It's blue, and it looks great. I mean, it does look great. And this thing, he can't tell, and he's just driving it. I saw it driving off, and it just looked like a 355 with a... I think it did have different wheels on it.
You can get Air Ride to handle as well as normal.
Can you?
Yeah, you can, because you can program the pressure and things now and adjust the height. So you can really tweak it well. It's so much more impressive than it was a decade ago. Hmm. There's actually a guy, he might have been there, who has a DeLorean on Air Ride as well.
There was a DeLorean there.
Yeah, and it's on air on some period split rims. It looks phenomenal because it does sit down right on the deck.
Hmm.
But not only that, this guy's got it going on. I've forgotten his name. I apologise. But he's also got a Volvo P1800 ES in, I think, bronzy brown. And that is on air, and it's one of the most attractive cars I can remember. I recently featured a Volvo P1800 on the Late Break Show channel, but the ES, I've realised, is my favourite. I absolutely love it. It's such a good-looking car with that glass tailgate, and it's just like, oh, my God, that car's got it going on. I feel like I need one.
It's got it going on.
Yeah. One of those with a modern Volvo running gear would be absolutely phenomenal.
Hmm.
I would very much like it. If someone could have one delivered to my room in the next fortnight, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Don't wrap it. I'll take it. Well, so there, I mean, talking about having it going on, there were many things that had it going on at Radwood. So I don't know where to start. I didn't take enough pictures. Probably one of, if not my favourite car, was a Daihatsu Avanzato TRX XR4.
Oh, my gosh.
Which we were only talking about, was it last week?
It was in the previous podcast, I think.
And lo, there was one there. And it was one of the UK cars. You know, Daihatsu brought in, what, 80 for punters. And
for shits and giggles, I think it said in the press release. That's yeah. That was the corporate line.
It's weird
that.
When you get press releases that start, ah, screw it, we don't know why we're doing this, but we are. And it's, yeah, this guy, it was just... Someone had bought it. Then it just sat mouldering on their drive, and then this person had died, and it was being sold by the family, and this guy bought it and brought it back to health. He said that when he took the sump off, nothing came out.
What?
And then eventually a sort of solid orb of black just plops out, and he was a bit like, you know, those engines are so revvy, they need your finest, thinnest synthetic oils, and that's very much not what's in it. So he sorted all that out. He gave it a good old... sorting mechanically, and it's cosmetically, it's like he pointed out it's got a few little dents in the roof and stuff, and some little dings and scratches and everything, but from a distance it looks great, and it's just a sort of fantastic curio. I absolutely love those cars, so that was one of my highlights.
I do as but then well. Just did, like, you see the Suzuki Alto Works that was there?
I did not see that.
Oh, I saw a photo of it, and again had additional FOMO. Mm. And went, oh, they're a handsome little thing. Because they're busy. Like the Avanzato, just the name is so long-winded, I'm in by that point. You're like, well, it just sounds exciting. It's like a real-life Tamiya RC car. It's lots of writing on it. Yes. Lots of arrow decals going, look, suspension. Look, bigger bumper.
Yeah, window.
Yes, yeah. and that was such a 90s thing, wasn't it? Write all the spec of the car on the rear quarter panel.
Open here.
For goodness sake, just write it all down. Come on. Windows, clear windows, check.
So what else was I going to say that was a highlight? Just loads. That's the thing. It was more eclectic than I could have possibly imagined. You know, there was sort of immaculate MG Metro, a lovely Mark II Sirocco that was had just been bought by one of the guys who works at Hegarty, the people who put on Radwood. And he bought it sort of for the show. And it had got an original dealer sticker in the back window, which is always a nice touch. Loads of Volvos, actually, you know, boxy Volvos, 240s, 740s,
the bricks.
That kind of stuff. A lot of brick action going on. Delightful SD1, a 1980 SD1, parked next to a yellow Esprit.
I'm chef's kissing at the microphone as we speak.
And then, also, the people who'd sort of gone, so there was a bit of dressing up, and there were people who's like, no, what was the car? I can't remember the bloody car. I think it was it might have been a Corrado, where they'd like left a Game Boy on the back shelf, and there was an Audi 90, a really tidy aero Audi 90, and I looked into the interior, and it had just got a CD of Pet Shop Boys' album Behaviour. By the handbrake, and I was just like, great album, so great detail.
I was going to say the detail is almost as interesting as the car now, because people getting into the spirit of the accessorising.
Mm.
I saw some great hats or, like you say, CDs or tapes, you know, the multi-tape selectors that come out of the consoles.
Yeah.
And they were left on display with a line of, I don't know, rave tapes or stuff like that. I think that stuff's really cool. I mean, I've got a bit of that going on with my taxi. I've actually just forgotten what's in it, but there is some stuff in the taxi.
It's a shame you couldn't make it to Radwood. It was really nice, and thank you to the Smith & Sniff listeners who came up and said hi. Also, there was at least one guy on YouTube in the comments after the last show said, oh, I saw you at Radwood, but I didn't want to come up and say hi because I didn't know what to say, and I was a bit like, I don't bite. Just come up and say anything.
I think you should. I think you should develop a bit of a notoriety like Elton John when he's a little bit irritated. So you snap, you quietly snap and fizz at people.
But yes, I thought Radwood was a sweet, sweet event. Lots of lovely cars. That's the one thing I missed was I was just wandering about on my own, and then I saw a couple of people I know, and then I was just chatting to some people who came over to say hi, but. What I missed was I realised, particularly with eclectic car shows, it's great to have a mate that you can just wander about the place with, because sometimes I found myself going, bloody hell, look at that. And then I just wanted to talk to somebody and go, is that one of the... I can't... Look, it's got the original wheel trims on. And there was... I was short of talking to myself.
So what you're saying is you wished I was there, but you wished I was in a sort of a slightly more unhinged mood. So maybe I was flying around on an 80s ninja scooter drinking Strongbow Dark Fruit, and I couldn't keep... I can't maintain eye contact with anything because I'm so off it.
I think... maybe if you were just on a sort of non-branded mountain bike, constantly doing wheelies about the place in a threatening way.
With the full suspension that's just absolutely knackered, so it's just boinging and bonging. Yeah.
It's a really noisy chain because you haven't oiled it ever.
Oh, an unoiled chain, it's just sinful.
Made me laugh. That guy that you two were telling me about that you saw, where was this that you saw him?
Well, we finished a shoot for the Late Break Show a little bit late, a couple of days ago, and we'd booked ourselves in for dinner at a pub nearby just because it's been a long week of filming. And it's a pub right next to where a load of narrow boats are moored up, you know, like a little marina, I guess. And it was just got dark, and I was with Phil, the videographer, who works a lot on the show, and we just saw, out of nowhere, this guy coming flying down, and it was a gravel path, so a little bit of understeer at every turn, on a full suspension but no name bike. So one of those bikes that usually probably gets pulled out of a canal or left in a town centre for 3 years and somebody nicks the front wheel and nobody ever comes back for it. You know, it's one of them. Yeah. And he had no lights on, and also he was topless, and it wasn't even that warm. And it's just... he had either a cigarette or something or a vape pack in his hand, so he didn't have both hands fully on the handlebars, which made me think he's going to have a huge gravel-based tank slapper. And as I was sort of like, oh my god, and he also looked like Mackenzie Crook, so very gaunt, and a little bit, you know, like the eyes were wild. But he disappeared off past us and then went down and got onto a narrowboat, and I thought, oh yeah, he's a narrowboat guy. He's a narrowboat. But there's every... I don't mean this against narrowboat people, because I know some narrowboat people and they're cool. However, don't you think every town, every small town, has a bloke like that who's on a no-name mountain bike with full suspension that is a bit squeaky and perhaps not very good, and always riding around like with a massive amount of urgency, but probably no urgency at all.
Yes, sort of aggressively fast riding. But
aggressively fast riding. It usually goes onto the pavement in front of, like, you know, mums and kids and stuff for no reason. Might be talking to himself. He's a little bit wild.
Well, he might be on the phone. That would be... But that's the thing. I say aggressively fast, but not hunched over like a Tour de France rider. He's actually very casual atop the bike, and yet his speed is aggressive because he's carrying too much speed in crowded environments. But he might be riding non-handed at high speed.
Yeah, and he might have some single-use plastic bag hanging on one handlebar, which is just loaded with
like
Copperberg.
Like a bag of cans.
It's loaded with Copperberg. And the problem is with that, as you know, when you've ridden a bike, if one side of the bars is weighted, the whole thing handles very differently, especially on loose terrain.
Yeah.
Which might be why he becomes an accomplished wheelie artist, because then the front is never on the ground, so the cans can dangle away. It's absolutely fine.
But you're right. I think every town has this guy. Mackenzie Crook-faced, shirtless, off-brand mountain bike riding... Army surplus trousers. Then as it gets colder, he has got to stop riding about shirtless. That's the summer, spring, summer, early autumn look. But then in the winter, these guys have always got a certain type of coat, I think. Sort of army surplus, maybe a bomber jacket, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's more than that. It's like a sort of longer coat with big pockets.
Well, he might have got... He might have gone to the charity shop and found a really decent Technics or Kenwood jacket. We have talked about those on previous on previous podcasts. He might have dusted off basically a Radwood Legend jacket. I mean, if you can find one. Whoa, maybe 2023 for me is the year of the Technics jacket. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think, maybe should you get... You get a Kenwood and I'll get a Technics. Or are you going to go Pioneer?
I just question my brand loyalties here and think I have got as a I think there's a Pioneer stereo in my Land Rover, so I'll go Pioneer just for that.
Yeah, and I've always been a Pioneer head unit guy. Hi, I'm Pioneer head unit.
Head unit guy. Yeah. So now the other thing about the crook faced man on his off brand mountain bike is, I mean, he appears to have no discernible way of earning a living, but
no,
I think maybe there may be the sort of the vending of certain illegal things that
he might do a bit of small time dabbling, little bit of small time dabbling.
Some people in town know him as like Dave Vibes or something like that. He's got multiple nicknames which might allude to some of the things that he does.
Oh, he'd be like Fuzzy or Zazzy, wouldn't he?
Zaz, and you go, well, that's not short for anything. Why is he called that? Just, I don't know. Just is.
And then, yeah, he would be.
If you were younger, one day you would go to a house party in the town, and it's like a friend of a friend, and you're in the pub, and someone went, hey, there's a party going on. You know, Steve.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, Steve. Which Steve? You know, Steve, tall Steve. Oh, right, yeah, he's having a party. Do you want to go? Yeah, come on, we'll go get some cans and we'll go with that. You go to that, and he's there. Scrawny mountain bike guy is there, but you don't know why or who he knows, but he's there. And then one day, you're in, like, a co-op or something.
Yeah.
And he's actually working there, or is he? You're not sure. Or you go into a pub, and he's behind the bar, but it's not clear if he's working or he just knows someone.
Yeah, he won't be working there. He will have painted the storeroom that afternoon and they've just let him stay on.
Oh, cash in hand.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's small town cash in hand guy.
He's very much cash economy.
Yeah. You know, if you need apples picking at the orchard, yeah, he'll do it. If you need some hedging clearing, yeah, Zazzy will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Zazzy. And he's got, I suppose, lives on a canal boat. I mean, I don't know how much that would cost relative to living in a house. I assume sort of less, but I don't know. It's not his boat. Is he renting it, maybe?
Don't think anything's cheap anywhere. No. Not even a static caravan's cheap right now.
But he doesn't need a car because he lives in a medium-sized town and he's got his high-speed mountain bike. That's how he gets around. So where did you say this was that you saw this guy?
This was in Eton Socon.
What?
Eton Socon in Cambridgeshire.
That's a real place.
It is.
Socon.
Eton Socon, yeah. Eton Socon.
That sounds incredibly made up.
No, it's not. It's not made up. I'm just double checking that you say it's called
Socon. But is it how big is Eton?
It's near St. Neots.
Sneots?
Sneots. Yeah, Eton Socon.
Oh, okay. It is. I've just found it. Oh, right. So S-O-C-O-N, Eton Socon. Yeah,
Eton Socon.
Eton Socon.
He could easily be, it could be a NASCAR driver.
Yes, Eton Socon. There's a lovely sort of high drone shot or something of the town. So it is, definitely a sort of fair-sized town.
Yeah, it's that kind of town where there'd be a no-name full suspension bike guy riding around doing something that you don't know about. That's exactly
no-name full suspension bike guy. The superhero you didn't know you needed because you don't. Unless you want to buy marijuana.
Well, if he ever was going to peddle naughty stuff, it would only ever be weed. It wouldn't be anything harder,
I don't think.
Maybe every Christmas he'll have a cheeky E, but that's it, really.
Maybe he's a bit of an old hippie and he sort of sells those drugs that not many people are interested in anymore, like acid and stuff,
as far as
I'm aware. I don't know, maybe people are into acid still.
Well, he's got some really lame hydroponics going on on his barge. You know, like he's putting all his effort into it, but actually he hasn't worked out that the best yield he'll get will earn him like £8 a week.
Yeah.
It's just not quite worth it.
In the meantime, the barge is suffocatingly hot and humid inside. That's why he's wearing no shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's why he's
too hot at home.
Yeah.
Of course, the benefit of Eton Soak is that it's in Cambridgeshire, so it's very flat, so he can achieve effortlessly high speeds while riding with no hands.
Oh, he's one of very few people in the world, I think, who can do a 21st gear wheelie. There's not many around. And if you remember back to when you might have been younger, listeners, if you've ever tried to sort of perfect the wheelie of a bike, it's not easy to do more than, say, four cranks of the pedal, right?
No.
But there was always someone, and I had a couple of mates who were very capable, who could slap it into 18th at the time there wasn't 24 gears. They could put it into 18th and they could hold a wheelie for the length of a street and you were properly cranking away. When I say cranking, I don't mean the American term, I mean the innocent British term.
That's the thing. If you are, as this guy will be, a consummate wheelie expert, it's that just effortlessly doing the whole length of the street on the back wheel. The front wheel is canted over a bit.
Yes.
Sort of almost lying limp and useless in the air, hands off the handlebars and just possibly smoking a cigarette or making a phone call. It's just that easy for him.
He was probably rolling a cigarette.
Yes.
He was rolling. He had a little pouch of Golden Virginia going on, or a Cutter's Choice, I think, was the... I don't know if there's... I'd love it if the listeners could write in and say what kind of tobacco, rolling tobacco, this guy might have had. I think Cutter's Choice I'm going to go with. But he's that guy.
He's that guy. And every town, I think every medium-sized town's got one.
Yeah.
So if I was going to do some kind of call to action, but I don't know why on earth anyone would write in, except maybe if you have this guy in your town and you're familiar with him, does he have an amusing nickname sort of like Party Steve or something
he could be that guy, couldn't he? No, he'd be
his real name is not known at all.
Barge Nev. That's his name. Because he's on a barge, his name's Neville, but he won't be called Neville. He has to be called Nev.
No, hates it.
Hates it.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, that's a good spot. That's good.
Yeah, well, this takes me beautifully into the disturbing scenes of DJ Khaled on Instagram that I unfortunately stumbled across.
Oh, he's got a new album out, hasn't he?
Got a new album out, and he's absolutely murdered the song Staying Alive with Drake, where they both sound like they're just shouting down funnels. And then he's videoed himself driving around, or being driven around the highway in his Maybach. Wearing nothing apart from some fitness shorts and not strapped in.
Oh, I saw this, yes.
Not strapped, standing out of the Landau-type roof. I don't know what you call it. Is it laundrette roof on the MyMac?
Let's call it
laundrette. Yeah. Singing his own song on social media.
I saw that and I was like, what an absolute...
It makes my eyes narrow, unfortunately. My eyes were narrowing at this.
Well, the trouble is now, whenever I see DJ Khaled being an absolute trumpet, I always think of you, first of all, as thinking, now I'm finding this annoying, so imagine how Johnny's faring if he's clapped eyes on it.
Oh, I mean, I'm absolutely... what's the word? Coming on cam, as people say, who normally don't know what they're talking about with engines. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
I love that coming on cam. When people say, "Oh, when it's on cam," it's like, "Well, the cam's always there, really."
Yeah. You can't turn it off. The engine.
It doesn't sort of. It's not like Mad Max where he pulls that plunger wheel and then suddenly the supercharger starts running. It's not really like that. It would be in a Disney cartoon, but yeah. So Khaled, anyway. I don't know. I'm just being a miserable old toss piece. Khaled's doing all right for himself.
Awful. He's terrible, though.
He's got 30 million followers on Instagram, 30.
Bloody hell.
So who are we to judge?
Well, exactly. It's I saw something last week in the sort of car world where I just went, this is awful.
And then I
just saw how popular it was and just went, it's obviously, I'm wrong.
I'm irrelevant.
Too old for this. Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of that around. And I think you just have to accept it. There's no point raging against it. It's just, times and tastes change. And so things that you might think are absolute cat plop are, in fact, extremely popular. But then, also probably a lot of people would think the things that you and I like are toss. So, hey-ho. This podcast, anyway, I mean, inexplicably, there's a lot of people go, how the frig?
Oh, it's awful. And there we are criticising Khaled. All I would say to Mr. Khaled is I would say just use your seatbelt. Because if your driver in the Launderlet Maybach suddenly had to tweak the brakes because, I don't know, some motorcyclist at the front or some guy on a full suspension bike was practising 21 gear wheelies and got it a bit wrong, I think Khaled would be absolutely trebucheted out of the seat and down the highway. Probably lose some skin.
Trebuchet. DJ Khaled being trebuchet would be... It's funny enough, you know, last week you said you wanted to get DJ Khaled, Pitbull and Paul Heaton from the Beautiful South on stage.
Yeah.
At a at an audienceless gig that you've somehow set up. And then,
pelt them
with a firefighting plane, a Hercules, I think you said, that's going to just discharge water onto the stage. someone wrote in or left us a comment on... YouTube,
yeah,
and pointed out that that would in fact probably kill them because it's incredibly heavy, and I assume you don't want to kill them; you just want to sort of humiliate and drench them.
Yeah, I just want DJ Khaled to just monotonously shout "We the best music," and then you'll have someone like someone Susie Dent or somebody like that who regularly carries a dictionary around going, listen, grammatically, it's just simply not correct.
Regularly carries a dictionary.
Just simply not correct. It would never be the best music. It's a bit like when Destiny's Child said, I'm a survivor, keep on survivor. No, it can't be keep on survivor because unless there's a comma in it, you know, like keep on survivor. Comma,
survivor.
Again, it's a song I can't listen to because it just makes me grind my teeth. Anyway, let's talk about cars.
Yeah, I can't actually find the message about saying that basically it would be very dangerous to drop a huge amount of water onto DJ Khaled, Pitbull and Paul Heaton all at once. Anyway.
What, one of those massive tarpaulins from a Russian military helicopter.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah. I suppose, because there is that. There's a clip somewhere online I've seen of one of those huge diggers, you know, the massive ones from quarries, and it's got a bucket full of water, and then they dump it onto a car, and it crushes the car. So,
oh yeah, it's absolutely it's tons of water, of course, isn't it? Tons.
Water is heavy. This just in: water's heavy.
I'll tell you what else before we kind of take things in, get the landing gear out. Massive FOMO from Monterey Car Week and Pebble Dash Beach and the Quail. Every time I see the Quail written down and there's a picture of a car, I think of quali. I keep thinking it's qualifying. And then I have to read it again. And I do think, wouldn't it be great if you had to qualify, if there's like a qualifying round for the Quail car show in California? It'd be great. What would that be?
What? So you have to do a few laps of Laguna Seca. But in a Hispano Suiza.
Yeah, wearing really sort of not quite that comfortable trousers and shoes. and there's no seat belts and you're on quite a slippery sort of bench seat of whatever it is. And everything's a bit wobbly.
We're back to people falling out of their own cars on racetracks again, which is always a hardy perennial. Yes, I had a bit. I was looking at the Monterey Car Week stuff and going, that's a nice thing to go to, isn't
FOMO?
It?
Yeah, well,
a bit of FOMO, yeah. But then also, I was looking at it and going, I sometimes find the American super rich slightly insufferable because there's something sort of, I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, I mean, really, we should thank Pebble Beach for the conception of Smith & Sniff, as we've said before.
True.
So effectively, it's where it was founded. And one of our listeners, a sort of colleague in our industry of ours, Jonathan Gitlin, British journalist who lives in off of the States, he was like, you and Richard need to go over there and like do a full Smith & Sniff Quail/Monterey Car Week thing. And I said, I'd love to do that. Only because he said, well, that is the spiritual home of Smith & Sniff. I wish we could find that footage of the golf cart.
It's a better spiritual home, perhaps, than Baldock Services, which is our sort of more realistic.
I pulled over in Baldock Services last night. I actually didn't realise it was Baldock Services because I was coming at it from a different angle. I was feeling quite unwell yesterday. To the point, two things, bollocks, I forgot to mention. last week, but one of them was yesterday, coming back from a shoot, I felt really unwell. I think I got a big migraine to the point where I had to pull over and I had to fall asleep in a lay-by for approximately an hour.
Oh.
And I've never done that. So is that me getting old, or was I just having a bit of a turn, as older people say? And so I fell asleep on my own in a car and then woke up a little paranoid that, I don't know, maybe someone was going to try and break in, or wee through the window or something, or tow the car away while I'm still in it. And then the second one is, you know, my Grand California camping expedition the other week?
Yes.
I forgot to mention, and well done to Volkswagen, fair play. I'll tell you about the jammed fridge incident.
No.
Okay, so this was the main incident of the camping trip. I totally forgot to say it in the cast. So we'd loaded some stuff into the fridge when we left home, got to the town where the campsite is, and I said to the kids, we'll pull over, go into the co-op, and we'll choose what we're going to eat for dinner tonight and what we're going to have for lunch tomorrow, and we can all shop together, make it a little bit of an event. I went and spent, I don't know, £100 on food, came back to the camper, and then when I said to my son, oh, can you just open the fridge and put the cold stuff in the fridge, because it was boiling hot day, couldn't open the fridge. And then I was like, oh, what are you talking about? Just open it. And it wouldn't open. And it turns out, while we'd been driving from home to there, something had ruptured, and the fridge had locked itself.
What?
And I spent 3 hours on a campsite with a bread knife trying to break into a fridge, and I actually damaged it because I was running out of options because I had loads of food I needed to keep. Excuse me, cool. I've got a bit of. So I've drank my coffee a little quick. And then, so I...
If memory serves, the last time you couldn't get something open on a Volkswagen, it was the charging bung on an E-Up on a video for the Late Break Show, and you shouted bollock porridge at it.
So, oh, yeah!
Sort of picturing similar scenes here.
Oh, and the kit, I was having a mild breakdown, and all... I didn't have a toolkit, because I tend not to take a toolkit when I'm going camping in a modern vehicle. But anyway, so I thought, right, what I'm going to do is I just put some stuff in, like, a bucket of water to keep it cold, old school. In the meantime, and I sent an email to Volkswagen saying, I am really sorry, but I have damaged your fridge, spending 3 hours trying to carefully open it, and I just can't. It opens at the bottom, but it won't open at the top. And then so I sent this email and then went to bed. And my son in the morning said to me, oh, when we were driving along, I do remember like a little grub screw rolling around on the floor in the back of the van. And I was like, really? And he went, yeah, we went over a pothole and I just saw like a screw. And I thought, shit, something's basically shuddered off the fridge. Volkswagen, bless them, they sent an engineer from Milton Keynes to the campsite where we were. They insisted. And the engineer broke open the fridge for me and then kind of carefully botched it so we could open and shut it and it functioned for the rest of the camping trip. And then went home and said, don't worry, we'll order a new fridge door. And so I want to say thank you to VW because it's great service. And they said, we've never had this before in our lives. It looks like part of the locking mechanism must have just fallen off and it defaults to locking. So the drawer, you're supposed to pull the fridge out on a drawer mech.
Oh.
And the top locked and the bottom didn't. So I could get the bottom open by about 2 inches.
The fridge locks just to stop it swinging open as you drive along, is that
it's
why?
It's so that all the cabinets and everything when you're driving along don't shudder. And so actually when you're driving along, it's really quiet. Stuff doesn't shimmy around and annoy you. But in this instance, it came at the detriment of just simply not... I might as well have been a bank vault that I was trying to open. But I managed to open the fridge before dark. I managed to open the fridge, the bottom of the fridge door, by about 2 inches. So there's Daddy.
So it was just posting bits of food through.
Daddy was posting bits of ham and really slender things through. And luckily, a really thin bottle of milk, you know, like a small bottle of milk. And the kids, my daughter was just looking at me laughing, going, what are you doing? I just said, well, I want to get some stuff in there, if I can. And so I was posting things into the camper fridge.
Posting food into your own fridge.
It would only happen to me, though.
Do you think you have a normal life?
No.
Because I don't think you do. Someone pointed out, I put pictures from your camping holiday on the Patreon, and someone pointed out that... you remember to bring an enormous inflatable cat, but you forgot to bring any fresh clothes.
Oh, yeah, and it was a dog, yeah, inflatable dog.
It was a dog, beg your pardon, sorry. I thought
it was a cat. But he's absolutely right.
And that, I thought, I want to say, yeah, I think that's sort of...
That's Johnny.
Those are the parameters within which Johnny operates a lot of the time. It's best, you know, best just to roll with it. Anyway, well, that's a happy ending to the story, I suppose, yeah. That you didn't all get, I don't know, salmonella from ill-stored food on your...
No, I didn't.
Trip.
I didn't airbrush from the back or anything, so it was brilliant. And if lovely. You're a Patreon, I'll put a couple of pictures up of a man trying to mend a fridge.
Yeah, it's just one of the many benefits you can get as a Smith & Sniff patron. This is like a quid a month if you're feeling so generous. Obviously, you can give us more, but that's always very much appreciated. If you want to get in touch with us, hello@smithandsniff.com. hello@smithandsniff.com. If you've got any anecdotes about a rat-faced man on an off-brand mountain bike who haunts your town at high speed with his shirt off.
21st gear wheelies.
Yeah.
I'd love to get an impersonator of Lionel Richie to say, "Hello, yeah. Is it Smith and Sniff you're looking for?" And then just have our email address come up underneath. Just be very neat, wouldn't it?
Long-term goals. Well, unless you are, if you're a Lionel Richie impersonator, get in touch with us. hello@smithandsniff.com.
Please.
Hello.
I'd love that. It's just to say Fiesta forever on repeat. I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Right then. Well, the gear is down and we are braced for landing. So before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Freight Mistake Show, in which Johnny accidentally sends consignments of goods by rail to the wrong place. This week, 90,000 teacups to Stockholm. If that's not your taste because it's total bollocks, then there's always The Late Break Show, which has got lots of excellent videos up there. What's the newest one at the moment?
Oh, we've just had a barn find Mercedes SL R107,
yes,
which should be fun. And there's a glorious, glorious car cave dropping, as they say, imminently, which will involve the Benetton Blazer.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm sure you're wearing as you talk to me right now.
Even though it's far too warm. Yes. We are getting perilously close to me doing a turn on The Late Break Show as well. It was hoping to happen this week, wasn't it? And then we...
Yeah, then I just couldn't make it happen, but this will happen. And also the Retro Rides Gathering event on the 17th, 18th of September, we have a Late Break Show enclosure within that. Mm. You can buy a ticket. We'd love to have you along. Pre-2001 cars, that's the rules.
Nice.
It's a phenomenal show in its own right, and we're going to have our own little... Area. Come along.
And Smith & Sniff Live on the 8th of September. It's all sold out, so this is pointless, but I'm just saying it. So if you've bought a ticket, don't forget you've got a ticket and please come along. Second thing I've got to tell you is I have various books out. One of them is called And On That Bombshell. It's about my years working on Top Gear 2002 to 2015. Lots of behind-the-scenes-y sorts of stuff and a story about James May getting really cross over some pies. and the third thing I've got to tell you is that there is a synthesizer called an ARP 2600, which was used by Stevie Wonder a lot in the 70s. And if you like early Depeche Mode or Vince Clarke stuff with Erasure or Yazoo, you'll hear this synth all over those records. But it was also used to make the voice of R2-D2.
Oh, I like that.
R2-D2, all the blippy stuff, is actually just an analog synthesizer.
I bet you'd love to go to Vince Clarke's house and have a look around his store cupboards.
Bloody hell, imagine. Imagine what his doorbell sounds like.
I hope his doorbell sounds like, I don't know, the intro from We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk or something. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It could just be one of those really, you know, sort of big old Moog modular synths make brilliantly sort of farty noises. It was one of those sort of... That would be equally good. I don't know. If you've ever been to Vince Clarke's house, let us know what the doorbell sounds like. Or indeed, if everything makes brilliant.
The only bit of trivia I know about Vince Clarke is that he used to live, or maybe still does live, in Keith Moon's old house that was called Tara and was notoriously amazing looking but totally impractical. I think all the rooms are either pie slice shaped or snail shell shaped. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But it's very 60s and futuristic.
I can't believe Keith Moon lived in a nutty house. How surprising.
Of course
I don't
did.
Think Vince Clarke, I think, now lives in the States. He's lived all over the place. He lived in Amsterdam for quite a while, but I think he's now in America.
Oh, I can't see the Clarke enjoying America, but then who am I?
I don't know.
I think he's living with DJ Khaled. Man. It's a really unlikely pair, yes. But they really enjoy really one another's company. Vince spends weeks getting a loop absolutely perfectly. Meanwhile, DJ Khaled just throws hits out that he's just recorded on his phone in the back of a badly driven Maybach. And Vince just cannot understand why he has 10% of the earnings of Khaled. But anyway, they still get on. They share toasters and stuff. So it's okay.
Good. These sitcoms write themselves, don't they?
They do. They really, really do. I've got a hankering this week for a car. I'm not going to... I know you want an Avanzato TXXRX 4R.
Oh, bloody hell. I forgot to say, I mentioned Panda 100 horsepowers last week, and then someone offered me one for quite a reasonable price.
Oh,
and
no. Danger.
It's dangerous. I told you about this, didn't I? I told you how much they wanted for it and everything, and I was surprised you didn't encourage me more. It almost put me off.
Oh, did it? I'm trying to turn a new leaf, because until I'm at a point where I've got a Jay Leno-esque hangar or Nissan hut, and I go... I'm going to have them all laid out. I've got the facilities to store. In this country, there's no point in buying another car if you haven't got correct storage facilities or time, like headspace, as it were.
This is the problem that I have, is that A, I don't need another car, and B, I have nowhere to put it, really, and even a really small car like a Panda. And that is probably the biggest barrier. Apart from that, I don't need it, and it's silly, but it's just I don't have any storage. And I've already got my Land Rover in storage miles away, I need to sort that situation out, because I haven't driven my Land Rover in a very long time, because it's just tucked away safely in a storage unit. But, if you don't have a garage or a Harry Metcalf-style barn, what do you do?
I'm with you on that. But I will. I nearly pulled the trigger on a two-door Avenger recently, but I didn't. I didn't do it. So that makes
you nearly shot it.
Yeah, I decided. I went to a shooting range and they said you can either use these paper targets, or we've got actually quite a rare two-door Hillman Avenger. And I go, can I fire at the Avenger? Go, yeah, it'd be an extra £4 a shot. And I went, I'm absolutely fine with that. Let's do that.
Right.
Here we are.
This episode's got a very long rear overhang on it. We just kept talking accidentally.
Oh, it's like a motorhome that my friend Matt Walton's just bought an American RV, and it's got the longest rear overhang. It's like if you're not careful, you will take out people's houses without noticing. So that's what this podcast has become.
Backswing. A lot of backswing on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, before I have to do three things all over again, let's just say that is that for this, and we will do it all again next week. But for now, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And I'm a way-faced man on a mountain bike. Selling
weed, forgetting to brush my teeth and drinking no-name energy drinks.
Oh, he's got terrible teeth. That's the other thing.
Oh, awful. Just doesn't see the point. Doesn't see the point in two brushes a day. Just a waste of his time.
He just chews gum. Does the same thing, he says.
Yeah, exactly. But it's hubba bubba.
No at all.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Does the same thing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.